Wouldn't it be great if you can test your apps in production with a limited set of users before it went to the public? Wouldn't it be easy to attract new customers if you could offer new and unique experiences in your app? Wouldn't it be faster to get your apps to the store if you can let the development tools do the heavy lifting instead of you? Hi. My name is Kripapu Balachandran. My colleague Jonathan and I are here to talk to you about some of the exciting changes that's coming to the Dev Center and the Windows Store to help you be successful in our ecosystem. Some of you might have seen the slide at the store overview session. We wanted to take a quick second to talk to you about the opportunity that is the Windows Store. We have 270 million Windows 10 sockets. We have millions of daily acquiring users. We have hundreds of thousands of apps in the store. We have billions of downloads. It's users like you and developers like you that create high-quality apps and games in the store that make us be successful, making the whole ecosystem successful. We believe every successful app goes through these four phases during its life cycle. The design phase. This is the phase when you make key decisions on which users to target, which device segments to target. You want to pick the right monetization strategy to make sure you have the right return of investment. The development phase. This is your coding phase. The decisions you make in this phase affect your quality of release, the time to market, and your cost to market. Release. You want to have a solid go-to-market strategy to acquire the maximum user base. Engage and promote. Once you've released your app, you want to talk to your customers. You want to listen to their feedback. You want to have that two-way conversation. You also want to keep tweaking your marketing strategy over time to acquire a new user base. We're here to talk to you about, for the rest of the hour, on new features that we have in the store to enable you to be successful at each of these phases. Design. The store is growing. Currently, we support desktop and mobile, and we're able to support apps and games for these platforms. With the exciting announcements we've done in the last couple of days, you know we're also able to support Xbox, HoloLens, and Surface Hub. Not only that, we'll be able to consume additional content type, such as subscriptions, DLCs, bundles, edge extensions, and Centennial Bridges. You already know how to develop apps for mobile and desktop. So let's get into the exciting stuff first. Build UWP apps for your HoloLens. You can target new apps or the existing apps that you have in your dev center to the HoloLens. The HoloLens is capable of running your Windows Universal packages that you have in the store. Or you can create new Windows holographic packages with assets and experiences that are specific to your HoloLens customers. Test your apps on HoloLens. If you have the hardware, which very few of us do today, do so. If not, the HoloLens team has announced the HoloLens emulator for you to be easily able to test this with low cost. There's other talks that are happening here, and if you go to that link, you'll be able to find information on how to create 2D apps, 3D apps, how to use the emulator, and much, much more. Develop apps and games on Xbox. Apps on Xbox. Build UWP apps on Xbox. Similar to the story for HoloLens, you will be able to target your new apps or your existing apps on Xbox. Test your apps on Xbox before release. You all probably saw in the keynote that we're able to offer you unlock for your retail consoles for UWP development. This unlock is in preview mode. It's fresh out the press and a little rough around the edges. It'll be polished later this summer, but feel free to try it. Games on Xbox. Games on Xbox is available to members of ID at Xbox program. As members of ID at Xbox program, you will be able to create rich and interactive Xbox Live-enabled games for all your Windows platforms. From talking to a few game developers, or a lot of game developers, we understand that there are some additional requirements to facilitate game development. For this reason, some of the features that we'll be talking about today will be first available to members of id@xbox.com. Targeting the right devices. With the introduction of new devices, we wanted to go over with you, again, how to target the devices with the content types that you have, or the contents that you have in the store. If you have Windows.universal package, it is capable of running on any Windows device family. Or you can have specific Windows packages for specific Windows platforms. For example, you can have the desktop package target to the desktop. You can choose a hybrid strategy. You can have, say, the Windows.universal packages going for your mobile and desktop, and you can have a Windows holographic packages that goes to your HoloLens. Make sure you have the right content for all the targeted device platforms. Once you've made sure you have the right content, make sure you test your content on all the targeted device platforms. You already know how to test your content on Xbox or desktop and mobile. With the unlock, the retail unlock for Xbox and the HoloLens emulator, you'll be easily able to do so on the Xbox and HoloLens as well. We're not only looking for bugs when we test these content. We're looking for optimization of experiences. Your universal package currently might be targeted to users on a 4-inch screen, a mobile screen, who are using touch input as their primary input method. If you're targeting the same content towards the Xbox, they might not have the best experience on a 40-inch screen that's 10 foot away and they're using controllers. Make sure you optimize the experience for all the devices currently that you have. Once you're satisfied that you have the right content and the right experiences, come to Dev Center. We have the options for you to opt in to these new device families. You tell us which device families you want to target, and we will take care of the rest for you. Picking a monetization strategy. There's a few different ways you could go. You can have the free strategy. You can develop completely free apps, or you can develop ad-supported apps. If you decide to go the ad-supported route, the Dev Center has exciting capabilities for you to help you develop a rich ad ecosystem and supplement your revenue source. Our colleagues Bill and Vijay gave an excellent talk yesterday called Acquire, Engage, and Monetize. If you didn't have a chance to attend that, please visit our Channel 9 and watch the recording. You can go the freemium strategy. In a freemium mode, your app itself is either free or inexpensive to acquire, but you're able to offer additional upsell experiences. Or you can go the paid route. We will be able to support paid apps in the business store. As part of premium upsell strategy, you will support downloadable content for your games and apps, subscriptions for recurring purchases, or bundling a bunch of your content and selling them together in the store. Let's talk about a few of these and see where we can help you with the choosing of the monetization strategy. Consumables are in-app currency. This could be your lives, your coins, or your bullets in-game. In today's world, consumables are managed by you. The store sells them, but you have to have your services or client manage these consumables for your customers. With the introduction of managed consumables, the store will take care of the management so you don't have to. This reduces the overhead for you, the developer. How does this work? When a user purchases a consumable, the consumable quantity associated with that offering is added to the user's balance. You will be able to use our powerful Windows SDK or B2B APIs to consume this from your app or your game service. The consumable balance is maintained across the store, which means the balance is now maintained across all your users' devices. So there's one consumable quantity for all your instances of app running in the store. We will still continue to support the unmanaged consumable the way it is today in the store. Sell new experiences for your apps. Durables are items in your app that fundamentally change the experience of your apps or games. For example, if you have a racing game, this could be a map pack. If you have a photo app, this could be filters. In today's store, you build these functionality as part of your main app. And users pay to unlock these experiences. With the introduction of DLCs, or downloadable content, you will be able to separate these experiences. Sell your racing game separately, ship and manage your map packs separately and offer them to your customers. This way, you keep the size of the main package small and manageable. And because you've decoupled these experiences, you will be able to update them separately. For example, if you're making a change to your map pack, you don't necessarily have to churn your main package or vice versa. As with today's durables, you will be able to use our SDK to purchase, enumerate, and use these DLCs in your app. Offer subscriptions. For example, you want to have a $10 fee for your users to consume your music service. You can create subscriptions for any app that you have in DevCenter. You will be able to configure prices, periodicity, and trial terms for each of your subscriptions. You can initiate purchase, query for status, and renewal dates using the Windows 10 SDK or using the B2B APIs. This way, you can offer rich experiences in your app and offer powerful cross-platform experiences for your customers. Here's an example store listing of what your subscription could look like. Notice the options that that your users will be able to have for different price points, for different times. Also notice the free trial button. You will be able to offer free trials for your users, and you will be able to dictate the terms and duration of these trials. You can customize a set of your content that's available in DevCenter and sell them together in the store. For example, if you have a racing game, you can bundle your base game with a map pack, a car, and offer it to your customer. This way, you are able to sell more of your content to the customer, and the customer has a better experience in game thanks to all these add-ons that you're providing, and probably gets a better value because you have priced it attractively in the store. You can offer bundles with any product that you have in DevCenter. You can even include bundles in other bundles. You will also have the opportunity to create special edition bundle. For example, your anniversary version of your racing game could include a vintage car that's only available as part of a bundle and not otherwise. And you will be able to deliver experiences over time and add value to your customers using Seasons Pass. Here's a fictional store listing for a Minecraft product. You see, in the store listing, your users will be able to identify what these bundles contain. And you, as the developer, have a place in the store listing to advertise your other bundle editions, your other related products in the store. This is an experience, how we think you will be able to create bundles in DevCenter. On the left, you have all the available apps and add-ons in your account. On the right is the content of the bundle. Simply choose an item from the left, add it to the right, and there's your bundle. Now that we've talked about how you can plan for a successful app, I will hand it over to my colleague Jonathan to talk about how we can help you with efficiently developing an app.
Thank you, Krupa. I'm Jonathan Garrigue. I'm a program manager on DevCenter, and Krupa and I are here today representing the entire DevCenter team up in Redmond and around the world. And the purpose of our team is to help make you successful reaching your customers through the Windows Store. I love being here at Build. I love sharing all of the things that the team has done to help you be successful. But the most important part of me being here is to listen to you. You are our customers. Your success is our success. And we know from listening to you that during your development phase, it's very important to use DevCenter and the store to do end-to-end testing, to work the way you work, to fit the way your organization ships your code, your experiences to your customer. And one of the things that's risen to the top consistently in the feedback is that you're not building your apps by yourself. You are collaborating with teams of people who all need to access DevCenter and want to do it in a way that's auditable, that you're not sharing credentials. And so one of the features that we are really happy to have rolled out in DevCenter is multi-user. So your collaborators can log into a single DevCenter account using their own credentials. No more sharing. It's powered by Azure Active Directory. If you already have an Active Directory tenant, you can hook up your DevCenter account to that tenant. Your users are already in that tenant. You can simply add them to DevCenter with the appropriate permissions. If you don't have Azure Active Directory yet, we've made it easy and free to get an Azure AD tenant directly from DevCenter. So for small organizations, we have built-in roles. If you want to let your marketing team log in and respond to reviews, but you do not trust them to update apps, give them the permission to do that marketing task, and DevCenter takes care of showing those experiences to them. For large organizations, we're rolling out per product level permissions. So we understand that there are some organizations where the team only gets to see and interact with the products that they work on. So let me show you how this works in DevCenter. And my laptop has gone to sleep. All right, so I'm logged in to a DevCenter account using Azure Active Directory credentials. And what I'm looking at is a list of all of the users that also can access this account. I can also see the groups that I've created to make it easy when I add a new user who's on the marketing or finance team. I give them the permissions that we've already established that team gets. Now, lastly, I can create accounts that machines can use. So this is an account that I've created for an API demo that we're going to see in a few minutes. So it's really easy for me to add another user to DevCenter. And when I do this, you'll be able to see the built-in roles that we've created, manager, developer. For an organization, this makes it super simple to assign your collaborator the right permission for DevCenter. So let's talk about testing your code in production. There's really three scenarios that we've heard that bubble up to the top of your wish list. The first is, how can I validate my updates? How can my testers look at them and tell me that we have confidence in the update and it should go to a large audience? The second is, once I have confidence in an update, how can I get data that validates that confidence? How can I make sure that I haven't missed something? And lastly, and this one's very different, how can I put something in the store that I don't have confidence in, but I really want feedback on? So we've created a tool set to help answer these questions for you. And it starts with the concept of customer groups. Inherently, testing code in production is limiting who can access that code. So we have a number of ways to create customer groups that we can use for testing in production. And the first question that customer groups are an answer to is, who can get the app? Who can see the app in the store? Who can download the app from the store? We have the capability today in DevCenter to hide an app so that it's not going to show up in search, it's not going to show up in browse, but anyone who has the direct link to the app can see it in the store and download it. You can go a step further and say, I only want people to download it if they have promo codes. So anyone who has the link could see it, but you have to have a promo code to download it. With the introduction of our customer grouping, we go and make this even better. You can only see the app if you're in the group. Even if the direct link leaks, only people who are in the group can see it and get it. That's the first question. The second question is, once I acquire the app, what packages do I get? Every app in the store has a set of packages that is my experience in the store. With customer groups, you can send specific packages to specific customers. So that first question, who can see the app? What I'm showing you on the screen is the existing experience in DevCenter under the price and availabilities page, where I have a new option. It's very similar to betas that you might have done in Windows Phone, but we've made it better. We're using groups. You no longer have to update your app in order to change who can see it. You have options. You can make it available to more than one group. You can just add people to the group if you'd like them to be able to see the app in the store. This is part of your regular submission. Now, the second question of which packages do they get, I'm really happy to share with you that we launched this here at Build. If you look at your DevCenter account, you will see package flighting. And I'm going to walk through the scenario today, and I'm super proud of this feature. This is an incredibly powerful tool for you. So let's walk through. I have an app in the store. I've got my V1 packages, and they're available to everyone who can get my app. Everyone in this case is my enthusiasts, my coworkers, and my testers. What I can do is create a package flight. I'll put today's build, the 1.1, in the package flight, and I will make that package flight available to a group of 15 of my testers. They will get that update. When they tell me that 1.1 is pretty good quality, let's increase the audience, I will create another package flight with 100 of my coworkers. They depend on the app. I want to make sure that I've met that quality bar before I send it to them. But my development continues. So tomorrow, my testers are going to get 1.2. And the store's delivering 1.0 to everyone who has the app, unless they're a coworker, they get 1.1, or they're a tester, they get 1.2. Now, I can then create a third flight with as many of my enthusiasts who'd like to sign up to get early access to my code. So my development continues, and I can create up to 10 package flights so that I can roll out my updates in a way that helps me validate my code in production before it goes to all of my customers. Let me show you how to do that in DevCenter. So I'm in my DevCenter account again, and this is my Build Tic-Tac-Toe app. And I have a submission in the store. You can see submission 2 is there. And I have this new section underneath called Package Flights. And I'm going to create a new package flight and send it to 100 of my testers today. So I don't see the group that I'm looking for, so I'm going to go ahead and create a new flight group and then flight today's update to that group. So I'm going to call this the Build Demo Group. Now, it's kind of painful to enter 100 email addresses for my testers because what I need to do to target them for this flight is provide the store with the Microsoft account email address that they use to authenticate. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to import from a CSV 100 email addresses that corresponds to the test team that I'm going to be flighting to. So now I'm going to create the flight. I will choose the group. Come on. All right. So this is the demo flight. Now, I can send a flight to one group, to multiple groups, to all of my groups. It all depends on what strategy I'm using for rolling out my package. I'm going to choose the Build Demo Group. And the key thing is, members of this group are going to get different packages than people who aren't members of the group. And what I have for flights is a submission flow that's very similar to what I use to get my app into the store, except the only thing that I can add to a flight are those binary packages. I'm going to go ahead, upload my update. And while this is processing through our package analysis and making sure that it's the right package for this app, keep in mind these are updates. They are delivered to the store. This package could go to all of my users when I decide that the quality is high enough. So now this is the update package. I'm going to go ahead and save this. I have a couple of just logistical options for my flight. If it's Friday and I don't want the flight to go out to my team until Monday because I'm going to turn my phone off this weekend, I might say, don't publish this till Monday. If I've added new features that maybe I need to provide some credentials to test for the certifiers, then I should add that here. When I submit a flight, it will go through certification. We run all of the same automated tests that we run for packages that you'd be submitting to everyone. We're trying to help make sure that when we deliver this update, it installs, it works, and this is something you could promote to everyone a few minutes later. So now I go back to my app overview, and I'll see not only my submission that's available to everyone, I'll see my package flight, that isn't certification. I manage flights independently. Nothing that I just did affected any of my users who aren't in the flight. All right. So here's how your customers experience flights. They are updates delivered through the store. There is nothing different about getting a flight update versus a regular update. You can expose the fact that they're getting a flight if you choose to put something in your app experience that says, hey, welcome to my flight. I would love to get your feedback on X, Y, or Z. Now, your test team probably knows that the flight is coming. So the store checks for updates once per day. This distributes the calling pattern of all of the millions and millions of clients. But your test team can go open the store and hit check for updates. And as soon as DevCenter tells you the flight is published, your test team can get that flight immediately and start validating it. Now, because flights are delivered transparently, most customers leave automatic updates on. Be sure to maintain the level of quality that your customers expect when you put them on package flights. If you're flighting an experience that is beta quality, make sure you tell your customers, make sure you get their consent. Hey, I'm going to give you a beta quality experience. I want your feedback. Can I please have your email address? And we know it's hard to manage thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of email addresses. So we have another feature that will help you solve that problem. And this is app beta groups. So it's just a customer group, but instead of you managing who's in it, you create an invitation. And you can send the invitation out to as many people as you want, and they can say, ah, I'm reading the description. Looks like I'll get the best build of the week if I sign up for this group. I will do that. So this allows you to scale with both package flighting, where you have an app they already have and you're delivering special updates, and it also allows you to create a group of people that you can share your new app with. Only people in this group can see your app in the store. Now, when your packages are in flights, DevCenter helps you determine how well they're doing. Every package in a flight has a specific version. And DevCenter exposes telemetry for each package version. So if I'm flighting version 3, and I'd like to know, is it doing well enough that I could give it to everyone, I can then look up version 3, say, yes, this health looks really great. I'm going to go ahead and promote it to a larger audience. So now I'll show you how to promote it using DevCenter. So this is a build demo app. I've got a submission in progress in the store, and I'm using package flighting extensively. And you can see by how I've named the flights what I'm doing for my business. I have a daily build flight that goes out every morning. I have a test team flight where if the daily build passes my fundamental tests, it goes out for a full test pass. My coworkers get the best build of the week. My enthusiasts in the slow lane get the best build every 2 weeks, and the slow lane get the best build every month or so. And so this allows me tremendous flexibility for validating my code on a larger set of customers before I give it out to all of my millions of customers. So what I'm going to show you is I've looked at the telemetry for the flight that is in the slow lane. I think it's great. My test team's happy, my coworkers are happy, my enthusiasts are happy. I'm going to now give it to all of my customers. So I'm going to go to the submission that goes to all of my customers. I'm going to go to the packages page for that submission, and what I'll see is a dropdown that shows me all of my flights. I'm going to choose my slow lane flight, and I'm going to choose the package from it. And without having to re-upload that package to DevCenter, that package gets added to the submission that'll go to everyone. I can submit that, and now all of my customers are going to get that update. Now there's one more level of granularity here. So at this point, I've got confidence because my enthusiasts, my test team, my coworkers, they all said my experience is great. I'd like some more data to validate that confidence. My testing isn't perfect. There are just so many combinations and so many user patterns of how people use my app. What I can do is for that update, or rather any update, instead of sending it to everyone at once, I'm going to roll it out gradually. I'm going to tell DevCenter, hey, I'm publishing this, start at 1% of my customers. Those clients are going to wake up, they're going to check for updates, and 1% of them are going to get the update. When all of the 1% is full, Store will stop distributing, and I can watch telemetry for a couple days and look for signs of trouble. If I'm happy with how it's doing, I'll increase it to 5 or 10%, whatever I'm comfortable with. If I find a bug, we actually did this. We've been using Flighting extensively in our testing in production, and one of our Microsoft apps found a bug that didn't reveal until the app had been running for 24 hours. It had gone out to thousands of people in a flight. But we found that bug, made a fix. So what DevCenter will let you do is stop the rollout if you find a bug. When you have a fix for that bug, you can then stage the rollout to the same percentage, and everyone who got that bug is first in line for getting the fix. So, a little bit of fine print about package flighting. It is a new feature. If your customers are keeping Windows up to date, package flighting will work for those customers. They will get packages from flights. If for some reason they've delayed taking an OS update, since November for desktop, since February for mobile, they still get packages. When they acquire the app, they'll still get delivered. It'll just be the package from your non-flighted submission, not the packages from your flight. All right, do you like package flighting? We are so proud to bring you this feature. There are a couple of other requests that have bubbled to the top, and I'm going to demo a couple of those for you now. I'm going to click the button first. All right. So I'm going to show you a new submission API. Now, this is a REST API. Remember that Azure Active Directory application I showed you when we were talking about multi-user? This API is going to use that identity to call DevCenter on behalf of my build lab. Every morning at 6 a.m., when the build finishes, I'm just going to ask my build lab to create a flight, send it to my testers, and that way when they get in at 8, they can validate that that is a good build. So what I'm going to do is kick off my demo. Now, this is in preview now. You can sign up for this preview, and I will show you how in just a minute. This is iterated through the flights for my application. It is now uploading my new package, and it's going to submit the flight for certification. All automated, I just had to press the button. I can also do this for IAPs, and while that is working, I'm going to go show you what just happened. So I'm going to go back to my app overview for my build demo. And remember, we'd seen the flights before. I have a new one. Flighting via API is currently in progress. Now, to help prevent collisions, right, you've got automation working with DevCenter now, we call it out. Hey, this submission, it's been touched by the API. We know that sometimes automation fails. You might need to go to DevCenter and say, okay, let's stop that. We're going to fix something real quick. So we let you automate flight submissions, main submissions, all of your store metadata, and IAPs. So this helps you automate tedious, repetitive tasks. It supports apps, add-ons, and it helps you avoid human error. One of the other pieces of feedback that we've heard is, I'm doing the right thing. I'm localizing my app into tens or sometimes even hundreds of languages. And when someone has to copy and paste all of the store listing, and languages that they do not speak, there's the possibility of human error, and this allows you to minimize that risk. So it is available in limited preview. When I go back to DevCenter for another demo, I will show you that. The second thing, we talked about localizing in lots of languages. We know that during your development phase, It's not always practical to do all of your store descriptions and all of your languages when all you're trying to do is get your app in the store for end-to-end testing for your test team. We've heard this feedback, and we've just introduced the capability to allow you to opt out of languages. You can even start describing your app in languages before you even uploaded your package. So this is also available now as of, I believe, yesterday in Dev Center. So one more thing that I want to show you. Actually, I'm going to show you how to opt in to the submission API preview. You can actually do it through the feedback control. Just say submission API and put down, I saw Jonathan's demo, it build. I want in, please add me to the submission API preview. All right, so let me show you one of the other things that we've heard can be challenging at times is knowing exactly when your app is published. So we're going to peel back the covers a little bit and share some of the internal workings of the store with you, because there are actually two pieces to publishing. There's publishing your packages, so every time you have an update, there's a package publishing pipeline, and then there's publishing your store listing. So because this is something that we know is important, we've pulled back the covers in Dev Center. And while your app is publishing, this is a new app I just published, or I just hit the publish button about an hour ago. So what I can see is that the packages are already in store. If this was an update, those packages would be getting delivered to customers. But my store listing, let me just hit that button. All right, better view. My store listing is not available to customers yet. That is the slower part of our pipeline. We know that sometimes you need to time exactly when a listing change hits your customers. You can now see that in Dev Center. Back here. Okay, one more thing that we've heard can be a pain point that we've made better. Age ratings are critical to buying decisions for people buying apps. Parents trust them when they're deciding whether to buy your app or not. 85% of parents say that they look at the age rating when they're buying a game. So we have made it simpler for you to get age ratings from all of the agencies through Dev Center. No more going to 10 different websites. No more paying for each rating individually. It's free. It's in Dev Center. You can answer a list of questions describing your app. We automatically generate ratings for all of the IARC participating agencies, plus, I believe, two more. If you've already rated your app from another platform, just give us your IARC rating ID. You don't have to answer the questions again. We'll just pull that in and use that in Dev Center. So now I'm going to hand it back to Krupa to talk about the release phase.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now that you used powerful tools to develop your apps and submit it using simple, effective workflows, let's talk about how you can improve your release cycle. You want to create anticipation for your product release. You want to tell your users who are anxiously waiting for your game release, tell them that your game is coming soon to the store. Your users will be able to search and find this page in the store. And this gives you an opportunity to communicate with your users the latest and up-to-date news about your product. You will also be able to make your product available for pre-order, that is, sell it in the store before it launches to the public. This gives you an increased window of sales and generate additional excitement for your game. You can offer perks for users who pre-order your product. You can give them special pricing. You can give them the opportunity to use your product ahead of the general release. For games, this is super exciting. People would pre-order just so they can play ahead of their friends. You will also be able to offer experiences only part of the pre-order. So you can create bundles or have special DLCs offered only to pre-order customers. Here is a pre-order store listing for the fictional bundle we saw earlier. pay attention to the pre-order button, and right above that button, you see the release date. This is the date when the pre-order unlocks, and it'll be available for your users. Once you're done with your pre-order festivities, you want to come and align your release with your marketing strategies. In Dev Center, you will be able to specify the exact time and date of launch for each of your markets. This allows you to do a synchronized, simultaneous worldwide release. Say you have a productivity app that wants to release at 5 p.m. UTC all over the world. You can do so in Dev Center. Or you have this exciting game coming out. You want users sitting in front of their computers at midnight on Christmas Eve, just waiting to get their hands on it. You can configure so in each of your markets. This is what we call rolling release. You will be able to do that in Dev Center as well. Pay attention to the graphic on the right. With the new features that we talked about today, the coming soon page, the pre-order begin, the pre-order end, the pre-order unlock, the release date, trials, deals, it gets very messy, especially when you add this to every region and you add pricing and times to this. But don't worry about it, because we think we have a way for you to simply configure in Dev Center. Consider this example. You have a product launch that is pre-ordered from 1st of June to 15th of June in all markets except Korea and Japan, and unlock on the 15th of June and release on the 15th of June. Come tell us exactly that. Pay attention to the drop-down box that says local. This is how you say that your product is going on a rolling release. You want it available at midnight in each of your markets. You don't have to do any conversions. You don't have to do any other setting, except come and tell us that this is in local time for each of your markets. We'll take care of the rest. And your marketing dictates that in Japan and Korea, you want to do a week later. Come, select those two markets, and provide override dates and pricing and whatever for those two markets. This way, it is a clean experience, and you can audit how the settings against your marketing strategies. We will also have checks and balances for you to not be able to do simple errors. So we will ask you a question, say, did you really mean to do this because it doesn't flow well with the other things? Create rich store listings. One of the easiest ways to convert users who visit your store listing page is to have rich metadata, as we call it. All of your content, make all of your content attractive and acquirable in store. Everything that we have in Dev Center, your users will be able to purchase it directly from the store, even consumables and durables. In today's world, to sell consumables and durables to your customers, you have to create an in-app experience. You don't have to do that anymore. You can sell it directly from the store. You can add videos and trailers that showcase unique experiences in your apps or games. This way, you're able to tell a story that you can't just show them with static images. And you'll be able to specify client requirements for your app. You are able to do this today with, for example, you can say, this is the minimum OS version that my app supports. You can do a lot more coming soon. You will be able to do things like, I want my app to run on machines with more than 4 gigabytes of RAM, have 2 GB of video RAM, or DirectX 12 compatibility. The store will warn the users, telling them that this is the minimum requirement that your app requires, and you don't have that on this machine, giving the users the right expectations for your game or app. This way, we believe the user has the right expectations, and you will have a better rating and customer satisfaction in the store. This is a fictional store listing for a DLC for, say, the Minecraft. You can see that this is sold separately. Currently, if you have to do this in the store, you have to sell it from inside your app. But when a customer goes to the store, searches for your product, it tells them what game it works with. This is the one we saw earlier. And I wanted to call attention to the rich metadata we have inside the store listing page. It tells you exactly what platform this game will run on. And it gives you these trailers and high-res screenshots. By giving high-resolution screenshots and high-resolution trailers, you're able to set a premium feel to your content. This gives your users confidence in buying your app. Now that you've configured the app for release and actually released the game, how do you engage with your customers and promote your app? I'll let Jonathan talk us out of this.
Thank you, Kripa. So your app is in the store, and engaging with your customers is critical to the perception that your app will have. We know that you're familiar with the ratings and the reviews in the store. And those are really focused at helping new customers make a purchase decision. And of course, you can respond to those reviews and engage through Dev Center. But this is a conduit for feedback to potential customers. What about feedback to you directly as a developer? Especially as you start flighting new experiences, right? If I send you my beta quality code, I don't want you to say, hey, there's a problem in your beta, in my star rating, in my reviews in the store. And in fact, if I give you a package that's on a flight, we will filter out any rating and review because we know, as the store, that that package is in a flight. If you later promote that package to everyone, then we will show that rating and review. So we understand how important your app's reputation is for your business. But how do you get feedback from flights, from betas? You can use the Feedback Hub app. If you're in the Windows Insider program, you probably have seen requests for what did you think about this experience? How stable is this build? Those requests take you to the Feedback Hub app that's already in Windows. We're extending that so that you can use that channel to get feedback for your flights, for your betas, from your customers, directly to you in Dev Center. Here's how it works. You use the Store Engagement and Monetization SDK to instrument your app to put feedback prompts. You can do it generally, send me feedback about whatever you want, or you can do it after a specific experience. You just use this feature, what did you think? It's still in development, please let me know whether you liked it or not. That feedback link points to the Feedback Hub app that's built into Windows, and it'll be scoped to your app. Your customers can see the feedback that other customers have left already. If they find the issue that they were thinking of, they can upvote it, which helps those issues rise to the top, and they all show up in Dev Center. So you can see the feedback that your customers have sent you directly based on your prompts, based on feedback for new features that are only available to a set of customers. Then you can respond publicly or privately. You can mark something as being investigating, like, thank you for the feedback, I'm looking into it. You can mark something as being fixed. I just fixed that. When you get tomorrow's flight, you should no longer see that issue. Thank you so much for your help. The other thing to engage with is what are users actually doing? Getting data about how users use your app and what is more successful to meet your business goals. So I have an app, and I have just a simple in-app purchase that disables ads. And I might be wondering, what if I change the text? If I just make it disable ads forever, would more people buy it? Would that help me? So I can use A/B testing. I can instrument my app, again, with the Store Engagement and Monetization SDK. I can build app logic based on things that I can control from the cloud. We use Dev Center to set up tests and then run those. And after a couple of days, I know which one is better because I have the data that tells me that disable ads forever is going to make a lot more money than just disable ads. So then, because this is one code base that I'm controlling from Dev Center, I switch everyone to the better experience. I don't have to repackage my app. I don't have to send another flight to do this. So when you use this in combination with betas, with flighting, and A/B testing, you have a rich set of tools to determine what works best, get direct feedback. So another way to engage is by changing the price of your app, especially over time. You're probably familiar with time-based sales. If I would like to have a Mother's Day sale, I can put my app on sale for Mother's Day in a particular market. And when my customers see the app in the store, they'll see the regular price and the sale price. Sometimes I already know that my app has a progression of prices over time. I might lower the price several months after I release it to drive further demand. Instead of coming back to Dev Center and updating my app and resubmitting it and going through the certification process again, Dev Center is going to let you set up those scheduled price changes. And those are not sales, they are changes to the base price of your app. So here's where it gets really exciting, because we're going to start combining the new concepts that we're introducing in Dev Center to enable really powerful experiences. So Krupa talked about subscriptions. And what we're going to let you do is give a discount price on something to customers who have your subscription, or who own another one of your apps, or who are in a particular group. So if you are helping me by being in my app beta group, I could give you a discount that's only available to members of the group as a way of thanking you, as a way of turning my existing customers into repeat customers. And these will show up as discounts in the store. So I will see the regular price, and then I will see the discount and the reason that I get the discount. I can do that for discounts, or I can provide free access. I might have a subscription that gives anyone who maintains that subscription access to any number of my apps or any number of the features within my apps. I can also do that for people who own one of my apps. I could give them access to another app based on the fact that they own my first app. So we're starting to combine these concepts in ways that give you a tremendous amount of flexibility in how to engage your customers in the store. So we just passed on a lot of information. So I'm going to sum up with a couple key takeaways of things that you can do now. The first is sign up for the API preview. We've just rolled that out in production. We have a limited number of spots for preview. You can go to the feedback link on Dev Center and say, I would like to try it. This is great. Thank you. I would love to have all of you in here signing up for the API preview. The second is package flighting is available in Dev Center today. This is an incredibly powerful tool to manage the quality of your updates. Please use it and tell us what you think, what we could do better. We really look for that feedback. Also, if you're planning on making games for Xbox, high-quality UWP games, go join the ID at Xbox program. There is a certain set of features that we will roll out first to members of that program. There's also a series of videos that'll be up on Channel 9 specific to UWP Xbox game development. Our colleagues have put together a wealth of information on Channel 9 that goes into even more detail about some of the features we talked about today. And lastly, we test in production in Dev Center. We roll out new features constantly. The way to get access to new features in Dev Center is you will all get an invite to the Dev Center Insider Program. You can manage your participation in that program directly through Dev Center. To see the new features first, join that program. I thank you so much for your attention this morning. It's been a pleasure for Krupa and I to share what the team has been doing to help you be successful. I think we have some time for questions, if we have any questions that people would like to ask, and we'll be available after our time is up as well. Thank you. Any questions? There's mics here if you want to ask a question.
Hi.
Hi.
Awesome stuff, guys. Awesome stuff.
Quick question
about the package flights.
Yes.
Are those going to have the same rules for certification, or is the process going to be more lightweight?
So the flights do go through certification. As I mentioned, all of the automated tests get run.
Sure.
What we have seen is that, you know, our certification process is pretty fast today. It's just that store listing publishing pipeline that's slow. Package flights don't go through that listing pipeline. Package flights go straight to the binary delivery pipeline. And so the performance we've seen with getting new package flights out has been quite quick, even with certification.
Okay, thanks.
I think we've seen 1 to 2 hours for by the time I submit a flight and it starts becoming available to my test team.
Hi, I have two questions. One is for the flight groups. It's either me putting a manual list of email addresses in, or the opt-in that you mentioned. Uh-huh. Have you considered something a bit more generic in that I could just target 5% of all of my app users, or 10%?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing is we're in the process of unifying all of our customer group concepts and making them interchangeable. So if you saw the A-B testing, there's a Channel 9 video online specific to A-B testing. And in that video, my colleague walks you through the process of creating a segment of your users for the purpose of doing A-B tests. And one of the, it's essentially a group that's built off of a query. And you can actually create a segment of your customer base that could be 5% of your customer base. If you wanted to manually create that segment and then flight packages to it, they will be interchangeable. So you will be able to do that.
Okay. The second was around rolling back a bad update. So yes. If I were to have a 5% group, I pushed an update and my telemetry showed me that I had a really high crash rate and it was going to take me a day or two to fix it. I wanted to fix those customers right away. Have you considered a rollback?
Okay. So we've heard the feedback that this is the next step for stage rollout, is offering that rollback to last known good. There are some technical challenges that make it difficult but not impossible. So the challenge is that Windows clients only install updates that are a higher version. So the store will actually offer your last known good to the client, but the client isn't going to take the update because it thinks it has something better. And we're engaged with the store deployment, or the Windows deployment teams, to try and find a solution to that problem. It's definitely risen to the top as the next challenge to go after. I know the reason why they do that. It has to do with most apps aren't engineered for backwards compatibility, in the sense that if you change your data structure and then go back, you haven't necessarily tested that. But we think that we can find some ways to work around that, and we're definitely looking at the problem.
Great, thank you.
Questions?
Okay, so are you thinking, or maybe it's already there, I'm not sure, some kind how to, let's say, I will create application, I will create like 10 user groups, 100 user groups, uh-huh. which will cover, if it will be like business application, so I will have like different big companies which are using same application, but for example, want to connect to different Azure accounts. And right now, what I need to do is generate 100 independent builds and put it in the store.
Wow.
And tell them like something like, install this application, which will I will change name, of course, but it looks, you know, like where. So mostly I will do it that I will hide the application from the store and send them link and so.
Okay.
But is it possible, or maybe something to consider, to say that I have one application, and this application will be installed on computer with some, I don't know, ID that it's installed by this user group, or some additional, I don't know, configuration stuff or something like this, what can, let's say, change just like really small stuff in application, just ID, URL, something like this, what is changed sometimes, if we are not speaking about B2C market, but maybe more like B2B. And right now, I don't see another solution than generate just so much applications. And if it's, because I when I see these user groups, it's really cool. So if I can create like this user group is company number one, they will get this version. Company number two will be user group number two, and they will get different application. So it,
I see.
It will work a little bit, but I still need to do these builds, and this it can make some problems, errors during build process, and even if we automatize it, it's still like, you know, take time and so.
Okay.
Maybe some just part of business store.
So I think what I'd like to do is talk with you afterwards and understand the scenario that you're trying to achieve a little bit better. The business, we have line of business apps that can ship through the store that are available only to members of one or more enterprises.
Yeah.
And we may be able to help you with your scenario by going that route, depending on who your audience is, mm-hmm. and specifically with how they authenticate to the store. The customer groups that we are rolling out first are all based on Microsoft account authentication. That's mm-hmm. how we identify the users. Depending on who your customer is, you may or may not be able to use that, depending on how they authenticate to the store. We know that Azure Active Directory authentication is used to authenticate to the store for a lot of enterprise customers. Mm-hmm. So it's not currently possible to make a customer group full of Azure Active Directory identities. It is MSA identities. So if we could understand your scenario a little bit better, we can steer you in the right place.
Okay, great.
Thank you. All right. Krupa and I are going to be here for a few more minutes if you have any questions you'd like to ask us. Thank you so much for your attention.
We are also at the hub. We have a Dev Center station. Come find us. There's a lot of people, a lot of information. There's Dev Center benefits. There's Business Store. Everyone's around the same place. Get a lot of information there. Thank you. Great.